You have just entered the KD Ma podcast. Keyboard plus mouse or die.
Hey guys, what's going on? And welcome to episode 29 of the KB Mod Podcast, a special Valentine's Day episode because Ooh. Us losers had nothing better to do, right? I mean, well, Dan's married, but you know,
my
we
wife
know
actually
love
said last
marriage.
Night I've been forcing the Valentine's Day thing the past like 3 years, like going out to dinner. Or anything. Last night she's like, "I don't really care about this holiday at all." You should like, "I don't like it actually at all."
That's awesome.
I was like, can I have my, like, $300 back from, like, dinners and shit then?
You're such a romantic husband. Look at you. That's good. Well, that's, I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, if she doesn't want that stuff, then...
Well, I'm podcasting instead, so you see where...
The best thing to do with women anyway is do something like sentimental, heartfelt bullshit, like make a fucking scrapbook or something. I love that shit.
Buy a $100 ring on Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, that
you
too.
You did that, did you not?
Me?
I thought you did it.
You think I have $100 to spend on no one?
I swear to God, I thought you tweeted that you bought it, and I was like, wow, he's fucking nuts.
No, I tweeted that somebody spent $105 to insult Gabe Newell, because whenever you gift the ring to somebody, it announces it to everybody playing TF2 with the name of the item that you gifted. And he bought the ring, which is $100, and then spent another $5 to rename it Gabe, fix your Steam client, you fat fuck, or something along those lines.
God. Wow.
And then gifted it to someone else.
Wow.
Yeah. It was like, you fat lazy douche or something like that. Yeah.
Someone's got money to throw away.
It's got money. Yeah.
Especially because Gabe answers every email he gets, so you already know there's another way to reach him reliably that's free.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's a really smart thing to do, though, for free-to-play developers. Throw something insanely expensive for, like, Valentine's Day or Christmas or something. You know people are going to buy it, and it doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've already seen, like, 4 or 5 people get gifted that thing.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Insane. I wanted that Skyrim dragon really bad, and then it was like, no, I'll just download it from Steam. I don't need a physical copy of this game. But I never buy like special editions and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I know it's Valentine's Day, so we could just go on and on with all the sex we've been having
and
stuff.
True.
But, oh my god.
Yeah, so love much pleasure.
God, it's exhausting.
I'm lonely.
I have been getting some furtive glances from the housekeepers here at the hotel.
Oh, man, dude.
What will the maid think, Brandon? This is a perfect opportunity.
It's like that Seinfeld episode when he wants the sheets tucked in really tight. I don't know if you guys have seen that one. Anyway, I just thought about it because you're in a hotel. It really has nothing to do with sex, I don't think. But
I've resolved tonight to masturbate to porn where it looks like the actors really care about each other. I'm a romantic.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
I have a female friend who only watches a page called Porn for Women. And
what?
Real
emotional. Is it like emotional
porn? Yeah.
I think they did that in 30 Rock, but it wasn't actually porn. It was just a guy... Like a shirtless buff dude, just like, how was your day?
Yeah. All the women are touching themselves as he
some
questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh God, he's interested. Now my day was.
Well, I don't watch it without some level of high production value. Like, I mean, I think, you know, I don't just go on Tube Galore or whatever.
Yeah, who does that?
Who does that?
Which browse. Tube do you browse? What? No, never mind.
I like some of the classier stuff. Like, I'm pretty exclusive to tentacle hentai porn.
Yeah.
Class.
Eyebrow.
Yeah.
That stuff's so deep, I don't even know what I'm watching half the time.
Literally deep.
I actually don't even get aroused, but I just sit there and kind of write notes down and try to figure out, you know, what was the symbolism here.
Yeah, you break it down.
Why don't
really
these
like,
girls look for... You know,
I really like the juxtaposed scenes here where the one chick was, you know, proposing a Valentine's date to her boyfriend while the other one was getting raped by an alien.
Yeah, I mean, it's
hot.
What was the symbolism there? You know?
I think it was just juxtaposition. for the sake of juxtaposition.
One Japanese out there, but what the fuck is going on?
I actually read something about this suggesting that the whole advent of tentacle porn came about because it's against the law to portray genitals in their entirety in any form of media. So tentacles are basically just a way of drawing a dick that you didn't have to censor. But they still had to censor, you know, the vagina and stuff.
You tell Scott about these Japan censorship laws like he doesn't already know.
I'm like, I'm all
he's
up.
He's not deeply invested in this. Yeah.
There's got to be something that's penis-shaped that isn't a tentacle that could be a little bit better if you had to go that route.
There's like a lot of food that's dick-shaped.
Yeah, I mean, anything. Nope, tentacle. Yep.
They wanted
sucking cups on the end, whatever, it doesn't matter.
And at something the end, alive,
just rip the chick apart, because that really gets you off. When the chick just explodes in gore, that's just great.
Oh, yeah.
I had a friend, here's a story, I had a friend in high school who was
cat
just
guy?
not the cat guy.
This cat guy?
This is not cat guy, but he could have, I don't know, they could have been related, I don't know.
She thinks
but
it's another alien.
Don't worry. Totally,
was like so into, like, you know, obviously wouldn't talk about it publicly, but like I forget, like one day we're a bunch of us are hanging out and he's like, do any of you guys watch hentai or whatever the hell it's called? We're like, no. He's like, oh dude, he's like, it's awesome. And they like totally like void of the fact that we're all like obviously don't want to talk about it. He goes into like detail on one of the ones he watched and he's like, and then at the end she just like exploded in gore and he's like, fucking sweet. And everyone, all of us were just like, what the fuck are you talking? We were just like so dumbfounded.
Did you happen
and he was
to,
clearly,
did you happen to keep up with that guy after high school, or is he a murderer now?
He could be.
Yeah, it's very possible.
I have no
idea. They say that.
I just always,
they say that, like, it's something, the astronomical amount of those sales go to America. Like,
I'm sure they do.
Oh, yeah.
Like, way more than gets sold in Japan.
I think like 50 of like about 50% of the American sales are probably being generated from my house.
I don't know if you guys used to go to somethingawful.com.
Oh God, no! Don't talk about it.
No. There's like
something awful's not that bad.
No, yeah, it's kind of like Funny or Die now. Well, back in the day, it was. There was a guy who used to do reviews of hentai video games.
You
can find them online somewhere. They're obviously like joke reviews, but the scale was on 0 to -50 for the scores. And they're so funny because it like the names of them are like the whole goal is obviously like have sex with these very young looking Japanese
girls. They're always young looking. Yeah.
And, but they're really funny. If you look them up sometime, I'm sure they're archived somewhere, but
I feel like that would be a good rating system for Ubisoft games.
0 to -50.
Yeah.
0 to can you play this?
The answer is no for pretty much all of them.
We really got off on the rabbit trail here going all over the place. But we got to obviously talk about what we've been playing this week. I will go last because I've probably been playing the least of anything. But
Nick so Jenkins, excited how about to talk about games on a gaming podcast?
Yeah, you know.
Like, I guess we've got to talk about what we've been playing.
Yeah, you know.
I wanted to just keep talking about our alternative porn choices, but
yeah, we could spend hours on that, though. That might be a special cast in the future.
Yeah. Well, I've been playing. I'm always playing TF2, always, and there was just that update, so trying to figure out how to get the new spy knife, but it seems that they haven't actually implemented it yet. They just added it to the game. It's not unlockable yet. Just started playing Orcs Must Die. I had some interesting issues with that where I was locked into sprint for some reason and I completed like 2 or 3 levels being completely unable to strafe and locked into the sprint animation until I rebooted. I tried restarting Steam, tried restarting the client, nothing. Picked up Batman Arkham City a little bit. I haven't played too far into that, but it's pretty good so far. And I'm proud to say I have yet to abuse myself with Modern Warfare 3 at all in the past, like, 2 weeks.
Wow.
Well, you're a better man than I.
Yeah, good man.
Yep, that's about it.
Where's the Mario? Where's the Mario, bro?
Oh, I have that recorded. I just need to render that, really.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll render that tonight just for you, buddy.
Aw, oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Make my day tomorrow.
I know. like any well, good PC gamer, Vic, I'm playing Mario.
Is there possibly any special projects from you coming down the line, or what's going on with that? I'm just curious.
Something special that you...
Something special sometime?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, basically that was...
Not to reveal anything, I'm just...
Yeah, not to reveal anything, but basically we're looking at some technical issues.
Okay.
I have to construct like a 10 by 10 green screen frame, and everywhere in my house is big enough to do that.
Gotcha.
So whenever... So
it's on hold for right now.
Yeah, that's on hold until I get some spatial problems fixed.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
Yeah.
We'll be on the lookout for that. I'm sure it will be quite epic. We cannot reveal anymore. What about you, Dan? What
have you been doing? Playing the crap out of Blacklight Retribution. Tons and tons.
Is this saving every time it patch updates? Is it saving your stuff now?
It has been for this phase 4 has been going for a bit now, but phase 3 stayed. The progress stayed from phase 3. Mm-hmm. Phase 1 wiped, phase 2 wiped, and then phase 3 and phase 4 stayed. But yeah, so I'm like level 16, I think, on there. Trying to get to 18 to get the turret, the little portable turret you can put out, which is pretty sweet. But, I've been playing the hell out of that. Obviously, COD 4. As Nick is with TF2, I am with COD 4. Play COD 4 every day. So, God, what else have I been playing? Oh, I did play the CSGO update, which we'll get to a little later. I played it.
You played that today? Already?
Yeah, a little bit today.
Mm. Yeah,
played about a half hour today. And, God, having new maps is good enough in itself. When all you did was play Dust for 4 or 5 hours, it kind of...
Yeah, you said matchmaking, though, is only Dust 2 right now?
Yeah, matchmaking is only Dust 2, which is, once again, stupid, in my opinion.
Yeah, because I'm...
The maps are ready. Like... I don't know why they... You can play them in a private match. You can play them right now. I'm not sure why they did that, but...
It'll be good to run around in Dust 2 and not Dust 1, though.
Yeah.
Played so much Dust 1.
And I played some Hard Reset this week, but... Yeah. I believe it was this week and live streamed it.
Because you like inflicting pain on yourself,
yes,
right?
Like Hard Reset. Just dying 15 times within a 2-hour period. But yeah. So yeah, that's pretty much what I've been playing. I tried to play Super Monday Night Combat, but it's broken as fuck, so yeah. Mm.
Why is it broken?
It's in beta right now, but it's... I can't really go into why it's broken. Can't really go into that. But...
Okay, we won't make you. I don't know what...
Don't do it!
Is this like under...
It's under NDA, yeah. So.
Yeah, I got gotcha.
Okay. I didn't play Microsoft Flight Sim. I uninstalled that, so...
You didn't play...
Soon.
But are you sure you're allowed to tell us you uninstalled that?
I just can't wait to install it to simulate the Captain Scully adventure where you save the plane, you know, when you into the Hudson Bay, I think, whatever.
Yeah. Oh,
remember that guy? He had 15 minutes of fame when he's an old pilot.
What a baller.
He's a hero. Fuck off.
I can't wait to play that.
Basically the exact opposite of that Italian cargo ship or cruise ship guy.
Yeah.
Got the polar opposite.
Yeah, that guy, what a bitch, man. That was unbelievable listening to that, telling him they're like, get on the ship.
They were like, go back. He's like, it's dark. It's cold. I'm drunk.
I can only imagine that would be Nick Fenton's reaction if the Mall of America suddenly started taking water. I don't know.
Why would the mall be taking water? I mean, there is a flume ride in the middle. So
what if that broke and just water, just the foundation of the Mall of America started shifting? People had to get out.
We hit an iceberg in the mall.
Before that, would there be scrambling. A scene where you were drawn like his French girls if you're hitting icebergs?
Yeah, yeah. And then me and Nick would be in the whatever the old car, and there'd be like steam on the windows. My hand would stick the glass.
Love Kate Winslet.
Ben would be scrambling over the heads of children to get up above the water.
But speaking of Nick, what have you been playing, Nick? Fenton.
What have I been playing? Kingdoms of Amalur. I started that.
Looks rage-inducing. I was watching you stream.
Shut up! Don't want to talk about
it. I like the art style on it, though. It looks really cool. I was watching a little bit of your stream, too.
That's so good. I've been thinking about picking that one up.
The texture is the best, but the art style is probably what carries it most.
So that was Kurt Schilling's video game studio, Gate Studios. There was a really good article my dad actually sent me, oddly enough, because He's a big baseball fan, follows, like, loves Curt Schilling because from when he was on the Phillies. But he sent me one into, like, how it was a review. I don't know what outlet did it, but they were like, we expected this game to be a piece of shit, in a way, basically saying, because, you know, okay, like, so many people go, like, remember Vin Diesel? Actually, he did some good games.
The one Chronicles of Riddick game.
Chronicles of Riddick was bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's other examples of, like, you know, as athletes, like, oh, I'm going to go into video games. And they were just like, you know, it's not really going to have the feel. And they were saying that, like, they were going to make it massively multiplayer, but they obviously made it single player.
It feels like it, even in the demo, which is I played, like, it's like an hour and 10 minutes or something. But even in the demo, it felt like it should be an MMO.
Still feels like that. I'm like 10 hours in. It still feels like
But you like it a lot so far? Or,
yeah, I like it. I mean, it's an RPG. It's, you know.
Yeah. That's
good. My time.
Yeah, they were just saying that they were really surprised. I mean, it's the first game, obviously, too.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's pretty impressive how polished and well done it is. And, like, it actually runs. Like, have you had any, like, crashing problems or anything, Nick? Or has it been pretty solid?
I have not crashed at
demo
all.
Demo was a clusterfuck. Wouldn't you run on AMD cards and stuff?
Yeah, I didn't really have any problems, but people were.
Yeah, I didn't either, but, yeah.
What else have I played? Darkness 2, I played that. Gotham City Imposters. And I finished Dear Esther before this.
How was Dear Esther? I mean, obviously, it's not really a game.
It is the mod, but pretty, from 2008.
I've heard it just makes, like, the best the Source engine can possibly look.
Yeah, it looks really good. I mean, there's obvious things that stick out as not being the greatest, but it's still overall a very nice-looking game. That's about it.
Did anyone get Dinner Party? I liked that today on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I was just confused when I watched that trailer.
So
I didn't understand.
Dinner Party is in the vein of Stanley Parable and Dear Esther, and I'm looking it up right now on Steam.
It's a game that's not really a game.
Yeah, basically, it's Dinner Date, not Dinner Party.
Is that the one where you join the couple?
No, it's just you alone table.
Yeah, like you got stood up on your date.
Yeah, and then you go through your subconscious or something. I mean, it's...
Oh, you know, I checked that out. I saw the trailer for that, like, a long time ago.
Yeah, it's $2 today. People want to have a dinner date and be forever alone in a game while they are forever alone.
Oh, shit. I gotta buy that.
We're recording a podcast on Valentine's Day. I'm gonna leave it at that for right now. I don't think I'm gonna go buy a $2 game.
Yeah, but at least I'm talking to other people. If
That's
you're playing
true.
This game, you are point. Alone playing this game.
Joke's on you, I'm buying it right now. PayPal.
It is a game of you being alone.
Well, and you know, I'm seeing this right now on my Steam overlay. Andrew's been playing it, Andrew.
But there you go. Exposed forever alone.
Exposed, Andrew.
If you're gonna play a Valentine's Day game, you should play Killing Floor because it's $3.
That's true.
Do they have a Valentine's Day theme right now?
I was
going
to ask. Like, I actually don't know, but that would be awesome if they did, like, the Christmas theme.
Yeah.
No, I'm adding both of those to my cart right now, and I'm not kidding.
Wait,
dude,
you don't have
Killing Floor is so good.
No, I never got around to it.
Oh my God.
Oh, Dinner Date. $3 purchase ever.
There's so many good games I haven't gotten around to, but
Doom,
now this is...
The custom Doom levels and stuff, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's an awesome
game. Dinner Date's making me sad just watching the trailers.
No, it's downloading for me right now. It's 126 megabytes. It'll be done in -5 seconds.
Nice.
Yeah.
But, Brandon. Or were you done, Dan? I don't know.
Yeah, no. You were on Nick Fenton.
I was on Nick Fenton. Oh, sorry. It's been a long day. Brandon.
Well, I've been obviously playing some Tribes.
Made a beast video, by the way. Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, I don't normally shamelessly self-promote, but the video I put up is really short, and it was like one of the greatest moments I've had in Tribes yet. Maybe the greatest moment, that second clip.
Yeah, dude.
those are some really good clips.
Some beasts.
For those of you who for some reason don't want to go watch it, which I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't, but...
Calling me out, clearly.
Yeah, I even asked you to watch it. I was like, really, this clip is awesome, and not even
Did you link it to me, though, or would I have gone to the effort to go find your channel that I'm not subscribed to, click on it?
I'm pretty sure I tweeted it out.
I can't keep track of Twitter anymore. I can barely, you know. Well, anyway, put in this thing, or put it in our chat now, and I'll watch it right now while we're talking.
Well, so... I'm trying to talk and do too many things at once. No, but they picked up the flag, and I like boosted myself three times to get the flag carry. Like, it was completely improbable. And when I was playing, I was just like, I knew I probably didn't have a shot at catching him, and I ended up catching him and hitting him right before he caps the flag. It was just
literally inches away.
Yeah, it was incredible. And so that was like moments like that pretty much keep me addicted to tribes for at least another week. Like every time something like that happens. But I did actually play a little bit of Blacklight too, which I hadn't played in a while, but I'm still having like some issues with borderless window and stuff on that game. Their video options don't seem to be completely hashed out. And now that I know open beta is coming, I probably won't play much until then.
Not much to do, yeah.
Yeah, so I did play that a little bit, but I've been out of the game for so long. I don't think I've played in a month or two, and it felt a little bit different. And I don't know about the customization or anything, so it felt like kind of a new game because they've added so much since I played last. And so I'm just going to wait until open beta and kind of take a fresh start.
Yeah.
Mm.
Good call on that, because grinding up, there's no point right now.
I'm just happy to hear you say you played something besides Tribes this last week.
Well,
that's
shocked.
I am.
Shocked.
This is more shocking than the fact that we're on episode 29.
Believe it.
I don't even know.
I don't know that I'd go that far.
Well, okay, fair enough. I'm always shocked at that. The only thing I've really played has been Gotham City Impostors, which I had heard good things about, and then Nick Fenton ominously tweeted to me that I hope you got it on Xbox because,
I just said. I was making fun of you because that's where you play
Marvel. No, but then maybe that's what it was. No, but then someone else was like, laugh out loud games on Windows Live or whatever. So I was like, oh, boy. Yeah. So I installed it and everything, and then the whole setup process like was a while because like Windows Live had to update, then I had to it was just – anyway, I finally got it running, and it didn't actually run – it doesn't run all that great for some reason.
I run it on low so I can get 60-plus frames.
Yeah, I was getting – I mean, obviously it maxed out everything automatically from my computer, and I was getting like 35, 40 frames.
Yep.
And even it would drop below that in certain – I was like, this is bad. So yeah, I'll have to try that. I'll drop the settings to see what I can get. But it is a lot of fun. Like, it has the best – I think it has, like, the best combination of, like, it just stole from everything, like Call of Duty. What else am I thinking of? Oh, TF2. Yeah, a lot. It's, like, really fast-paced. A lot of the abilities are really cool. Like, you can glide and, you know, ride roller skates. And a lot of it sounds kind of dumb, but they actually come in handy depending on how you use the classes. And it's – I don't know. It's a really well-done title. If only technically it was better done on PC, it'd be nice. Yeah. But I played that for a little while, and that was good, and that's really it. As far as I haven't been playing anything. By the time I get home from work, I'm just like, I don't know, I'm just too mentally drained. I just, jerk off and go to sleep.
People play games a lot.
Yeah, what, they're watching streams or whatever?
Just, I mean, you work at Machinima.
Yeah, everyone else. Yeah, my job does not involve me playing any games, but I get to watch other people
Didn't
around
you
me.
Did play
just
on the UFC stream?
I did play on the UFC stream. That's true. Yeah, I did play the new UFC game. I forgot about that. And that game is actually really, really fun. The new UFC game, I don't know if any of you guys watch UFC.
I actually was really into it for a couple of years.
Were you? Yeah, but the game feels really cool. I don't know. Like, there's certain games, like on console, we've always talked about that definitely cater better, and obviously I think fighters obviously do. And the controls were really – I mean, obviously I was button mashing my ass off because I had no idea when we were on simple controls, but, like, that game is really deep, and it was a lot of fun. So, yeah, I played that. Yeah, I guess that's true.
And there was one a few years ago, I think 2009, that was also getting really good reviews. I never really bothered with it, but just because I'm not really into UFC, but there was another.
Yeah, it feels really awesome because like when you actually do something, because it's really not simple. Like you really have to, like, the grappling system is really complicated, and like it really isn't a button masher, even though I was button mashing, like I was getting lucky. But you really have to counter everyone, and when you get like a sweet uppercut or something, it's like slows down, and like, dude, the brutal destruction on the faces, like broken noses and all that shit. Yeah. It's pretty sweet. So anyway, but yeah, I played that and that's about it. I'm hoping after this to play a little bit of the CSGO. Very funny, Brandon. You know what? I'm just going to keep counting, Brandon, because I'm going to keep saying like a lot. All right?
Like totally.
Like a valley girl. Part of
the chat, as is typical.
God, like totally love Instagram. Like totally.
Stop it.
Like, oh my God, hentai.
But yeah. I was going to say I'm going to play the CSGO update here after this. Hopefully, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll play. We'll play.
Yeah, I'm down for that. But that's about it, I think, as far as what we've been gaming this this week. But I think we should transition into the lovely category.
The news.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't know.
What are you doing there?
I don't know what happened there.
French girl? Okay.
Draw me like.
Draw me like you draw the news.
We now interrupt your scheduled programming to bring you an urgent broadcast from the front lines of America.
Well, first up for the news, we have Blacklight Retribution going to open beta, which pretty much means release, because it's a free-to-play, so they'll just constantly patch. I mean, it might do the Minecraft thing where, you know, we hit 1.0, but really it's been out forever. So basically one of the devs actually tweeted today that open beta you may as well call release, because none of the progress is going to get reset either. So...
That's what I'm waiting for.
Pretty much is released. So on the 27th, couple weeks on Tuesday or Wednesday, or is that? No, it's a Monday. I'm an idiot. Monday. So that'll be the day open beta goes for Blacklight Retribution. So everyone will be able to play that. So if you've been trying to get a beta key, don't do it now. There's only closed beta stops Friday. So, no reason to really do that. They might do another stress test Friday. They did one last Friday.
Have you heard anything as far as how many numbers of people actually playing the beta from
They have it split into U.S. East, U.S. West, kind of like Battle.net does. Mm-hmm. So, on East, though, earlier, before they announced open beta, like over the weekend, there were probably, 10 or 15 servers going just on East, which is a lot. So that was a couple hundred people playing on East. And, that was at one time. That was just, and I don't know who was on West and who was on the European servers and all that stuff. So I'm not actually sure. I know they've given out.
There's a lot of keys they've
had, like,
given out.
They've had like probably 20,000 redeemed. So I mean,
tweeted at us that Alienware still has a bunch of keys, don't they?
Yeah, they have like 6,000 left.
Think there was really anybody on the EU servers though, because Incredible Orb was over there just getting hard suit Moabs, and everybody just rage quit.
Yeah, everybody just rage quit. Hard suit Moabs.
Isn't a hard suit Moab in Blacklight? Is it 50 kills? I hear rumored. It's 50 kills.
It's like 850. And
well,
he gets
actually,
every game.
It grows a beard like Jared. That's the rumor. And it becomes invincible. Just walks around the map. But the main things that are coming in open beta, obviously a lot of bug fixes will be in there. I believe you're going to be able to finally buy Zen to buy your equipment, which would make sense. They might not do that right away, though. You never know. But I believe you'll be able to buy Zen. I already know I'm going to spend money.
Oh yeah, me too.
The thing is about it, people worried about pay to win, pay to play. You got to think of it as a Call of Duty leveling system, though. As in, the higher you level, the more equipment you unlock. So you still have to level to even have access. So it's not like you can buy something that's a level 30 item early. You can buy cosmetic stuff early, like different camos.
Make a difference.
Yeah, and there's hangers that aren't implemented for your gun, like a little trinket that hangs off your gun, and those give like a +1 to a random stat, but it's going to be a random stat, so it's not really overpowered. But
any word on the bullet? I haven't played since the new update, but
one uses them. Yeah. They're in there. If you watch my video, Scott, from today, I did get hit by poison once, and it does fuck up my screen still, but it's not something that's literally in phase 4. That's the first time I ever got hit by poison bullets. So
I got hit. I got hit last time I played, and it's not nearly as bad as it was.
What they did was they nerfed the initial damage on the explosive and the poison bullets. They nerfed the damage, and then they do the poison damage over time and screw up your screen. And the fire damage also does like fire damage over time, but. Yeah, it doesn't hit as hard to begin
it's
with,
and
the main thing is,
yeah,
you know, shooting people first in that game because everybody can see everybody, so the faster you can get a jump, the better. So I mean, it doesn't really pay to have less damage on your bullets.
I think that's really one of the few games I actually adopted a defensive play style just because of the visors. Just so much easier.
I
just
run around like a madman. Just run around.
It's
like
still fun. It's still fun to rush. But I tend to gravitate towards a more defensive play style, just keeping an eye on where everybody is, who's coming up with the visor. I don't camp, but, you know,
you
I let people come to me.
You can't camp. There's,
yeah. There was, oh, no, like you can't camp in that game.
There's this one guy named Mental, and he always camps on the one map, like up in this thing where there's only one stairway up, and he puts a proximity mine on the stairs, and that's what he does the whole game.
Like, sure, like we're calling you out, Mental. Fuck you, buddy, if you listen
no,
to the
no,
podcast.
Keep doing it, because you never take pictures that way, so it's fine with me. You just
oh, nice.
You can't even
oh, he's on the other team. The saying, okay.
Yeah, you can't even see, like, exactly. Half the map. So it's like...
Have you ever gotten into an argument in an FPS with somebody who camps? Because the answer is always the same. Well, when I was in the military, they taught us to stay alive. That's what I'm doing. I'm staying alive.
That's what real soldiers do.
Military motherfucker.
Tactical crouch, baby. Yeah,
that's because apparently, if you die in the game, you die in real life.
Yeah.
Like if you die in the game, you die for real. What was that movie? It's a movie a couple.
Oh God, I know. I know what you're talking about.
Isn't it called Gamer?
No,
Gamer's actually not.
It's a horror movie. Well, it's like a really, really bad horror movie.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it in theaters. With
Googling it now.
It's gonna drive me.
Yeah, but
stay alive.
My experience always like
stay alive. Strike,
people would never move from like T spawn with like, you know, just never move, and they'd always be. It would always be depending on the server, but often Brandon, it was Texas servers that I'd be on, and it would be some guy be like this is, if you don't like the way I play, you can get the fuck off my server. Like, I was like, wow,
don't mess with Texas Fisher.
I love how you managed to stereotype Texan servers. Like Texan servers have more redneck
they
campers.
Do. Per capita, Texan servers have more campers than Counter-Strike.
They actually, have server mods where everybody is wearing cowboy hats and spurs.
Yeah, that's
I don't
true.
Know.
And you can't move very thinking. Fast.
Yeah, you move very slowly. Hence,
because everybody walks around with their hands on their belts and just kind of struts
okay,
around.
You don't actually walk with the gun pulled out. You have to pull it out of your holster.
Yeah, yeah.
It initiates a mini game.
Everyone has a six shooter for some reason.
Yeah,
makes no sense.
And there's actually health pickups in the form of mesquite barbecue chicken.
Wow. I would play that. If someone makes that mod for Counter-Strike or for Source, I would play that.
Dude, I would love to play a Western shooter.
Yeah.
Why isn't there a Western shooter?
There was Call of Juarez or whatever, but that was awful.
No, I mean a game that doesn't suck. Like,
okay, yeah.
Can we have like a Cowboys versus Indians?
Like a really,
Native Americans. All right. Native Americans.
That would actually be pretty awesome, like set in the Wild West, like all the maps.
Yeah.
Really good shooter.
Why don't we just have Red Dead for PC?
That's true, though. I think that is a good untapped. There's not a good game, any good first-person shooter that taps into that. That would be big.
I think every other time period has been hit. You have, like, Civil War. You've got, everything, except I don't know that I've ever seen, like, a legit Western first-person shooter.
I think
the Indians and...
Oh, I think the real problem there is the lack of weapon variety for the time, because you pretty much had Winchesters and Colts, and that was it.
What are you talking about?
That was it.
No, man.
Tomahawks.
A Gatling gun would be like an unlock.
What they need to do is
Tactics.
Make an old Western shooter that has like steampunk elements, like Wild Wild West with Will Smith.
Is Will Smith Raiden?
The boss is a giant robot spider piloted by a guy with no legs and just a mechanical wheelchair.
Is he Krang from Ninja Turtles?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you could make up all kinds. I mean, I know what you're saying with the basic weapons that there would have been, but you could make up all kinds of, like, homemade stuff. And I don't know. I think it would be pretty
double
simple.
Double barrel shotguns.
Oh yeah, you got shotguns.
You definitely. You have those.
I think you could have at least like, you know, four or five different weapons. That's what I'm saying though, is like if they focused on the actual gameplay rather than just like crazy weapon variety.
Yeah.
I'm not even talking crazy weapon variety. I mean, you're literally talking about like five guns that you could realize. If this was a realistic shooter, I'm saying add like a retarded fantasy element to make it more, you know, well, kind of like there was a really underrated game. I don't know if we ever got it on PC. We might have, but it was definitely on consoles called Time Splitters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember Time Splitters. I think it was console only. I don't think it ever came to PC.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. But Time Splitters definitely had a whole Western part to it where they just had all these goofy ass weapons. Some of them you were a time traveler, and some of them you brought from the future, and then you were like picking up revolvers and shit all over the place. It was a great time. So if there was like a little bit of that element, you know, that game wasn't just a Western shooter though. You were all over the place, but yeah, there definitely was.
How many weapons are there in Counter-Strike? I count five.
Well, there's only three that people use.
Yeah, it's three people use. There's a lot of weapons people. I mean, you know, you'd have to. I mean, MP5. There's.
That's what I'm saying. Five that people use: Deagle, MP5, AWP, M4, AK.
Yeah, but you can really sell that today. The only reason Counter-Strike still does well is it still sees a lot of plays because it was so revolutionary back in the day. If you release Counter-Strike
now, just works. It's just balanced. So
that's true, but I think it would be hard to attract new people.
I agree, though. I think it would be hard after kids are so spoiled with fucking perks and kill streaks now.
Perks, like if you brought a kill streaks,
yeah, they'd be like, "Well, what the fuck? This is so stripped down. This isn't even a game." I bet you. I bet you. If you really, that's a good point, Nick. I never thought about that, but I bet you people would hate it on it now.
You're probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. You're probably right, but like, I mean, look at Quake. Quake has a set of what, like eight, nine weapons.
Yes,
yeah, that's true.
I don't think it would be that hard to come up with nine weapons if you really wanted to for a Western style shooter.
Bow and arrow.
I actually can't even believe we're still talking about this. But.
Yeah, this is really well. I want to develop this game now. Yeah, I'm excited.
Can we talk to Notch?
No, and yeah, Notch will bankroll it.
Kickstarter project.
Boom. Yeah, I'm just envisioning like sniping with like. With an Indian and like a bandana around my head with long flowing hair and like with it. Oh man, just taking a bow and arrow right through a cowboy.
He's not even focused on the gameplay. He's just like, how do I look? Do I have nice hair? How long are my locks?
Well, that would have to be part of it. You could edit the hair and like where you came from and how.
You can play like shit as long as it looks sexy.
So basically you want Western Brink.
With the character. I want to be able to actively sprint and slide under tree branches that are hanging too low.
Parkour.
I want to be Pocahontas.
I want to be able to choose in my biography, like every character will have a biography that you can make, and I want it to choose how my people get destroyed by the white man. Like what what happened? Was it disease? So, did they just come in and pillage?
Nick Fenton would paint with all the colors of the wind, so.
Can you paint with all the colors of the wind?
Love that song.
Wow. I don't think they really had scopes on rifles yet, so you would have to like target long distance guys with like a spotting hawk.
Oh man.
That would be so sick. Oh my god. We're giving away gold here. We gotta stop because
when Jared gets on here
before, patent pending
after the podcast and Jared's on, be like, dude, next game, here it is, all right? We'll elevator pitch him right there.
We will. Blacklight Outlaw.
Dude, stop. It's gonna be stolen. Stop.
All right, well, next up it's kind of big news because it's been 12 years finally in the making. Diablo 3 targeting release for Q2, and that was in an earnings call, so they don't tend to spoof investors too much. So I'm thinking about May. We'll see it. As I said in our little article about it, the game's already, I mean, well, the hour and a half we have is already polished enough to go out right now, but I would say that's pretty on point, but Blizzard does tend to operate like Valve, and that would be on their own time, so you never know, but I really think it'll be, you know, May. I don't think it'll creep on into summer, but I think they might put it out just in time for when kids get out of school, so they have a shitload of time to play.
Now, here's another question, though. So this goes back to like us talking about Counter-Strike being released in like a time period like this, which obviously it's kind of dumb to do because Counter-Strike invented a lot of the stuff we see now, really. But like Diablo, like a game like that. So we're anticipating that obviously it's an older generation who played Diablo, the original, and Diablo 2. Mm-hmm. So, but that release now, you know what I mean? Like with the current status of gaming and how it stands, like do you think – it'll have as much of an impact as it did back in the day.
And the reason is because it's much easier to play. To a point, which we'll get to in a second, but to make your character and stuff is super forgiving. And, like, there's no talent trees, there's no... You're not stuck in any one thing.
So it doesn't fuck you if you mess up on your
character. Whereas Diablo 2, you mess up one point, that was it. You pretty much had to roll again. So...
Well, and two, I think Blizzard now is, like, such a huge entity and just such a huge name. Whereas back when they released Diablo 2, I mean, they were obviously big in PC gaming circles, but they weren't nearly the brand they are now.
No, not at all.
Diablo 2 did a lot to attract people who weren't PC gamers. I didn't know anything about PC gaming, and I ran Diablo 2 fine and played the shit out of it. Spent an entire summer on that game.
God.
I was 5.
But yeah, they also said, well, along with that, what I just said about the the game not being easier to make a character and not mess that up. The developers actually a few days ago released a video because people were concerned because the beta, I've died in probably maybe 10 to 20 hours of the beta. I've died once. So people were concerned, like, is this going to be
not hard,
super
right.
easy? Because Diablo 2 actually was pretty easy. Even if you leveled normally, unless you did something really stupid or ran into a certain combination of enemies, you really weren't going to die. They came out with a video called "You Will Die, We Promise." That's the title of the video. And basically they're talking about how the one guy said, easy is there for you to play through the story. So then, you can play through the story kind of leisurely, learn how to play the game in easy. The lore of Diablo is a big thing. People love it. So you'll be able to casually go through in easy. And he said, the game for me really begins in Nightmare. And he's like, the first boss you come across, we wiped for an hour. He's like, this is the guys who made the boss. And they were like, yeah, the four of us were just wiping forever. He's like, then they're like, when you get to Hell, it gets even worse. And then he's like, when you get to Inferno, well, that's just a whole other set of stuff that you don't even want to talk about. Like, they're basically like, it's so hard. And I believe him because really there wasn't anything that could kill you with the right amount of stuff in Diablo 2. Like, if you had potions, you were pretty much invincible. So it's good that they're doing that because it really wasn't hard.
And not until you got to Hell.
No, in like Hell Diablo was really the first hard thing, and that was 4 acts in. But they said, you're going to die probably from AoE damage from the special mobs sometimes. If you don't get out fast enough. I was like, wow, that's ridiculous.
Sounds good to me.
So it's gonna be substantially harder from the sound of it.
Yeah, they showed him in a clip in Act 1, the part that we have in beta, but on Nightmare. And he goes in, he's like kicking the shit out of these guys, and then just instantly dies. Like, he's like, oh, shit.
I wonder how that's all gonna scale with gear, though. Because if you think about, like, compared to World of Warcraft, when you fight a new boss, you know, one person steps out of line for a split second and they're dead instantly. And then later on, once everybody gets geared up from the easier fights, or you guys power through it, it's a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah, but they said also Inferno, though. We've talked about this before on the podcast. The way Inferno is going to work, and no Diablo game has worked like this before, every single monster in Inferno is higher level than you.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's true.
Now, in Diablo 2, once you hit 85, you were the same level as Bale, and once you hit 86, you were a higher level than any monster in the game. So, you immediately could hit things really easily, and that's a big part of it, is being able to chance to hit. The mobs is a big part of staying alive, obviously, because if you're not doing any damage,
right,
you're going to get overpowered.
There's a lot of Life Leech classes as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
and needed that.
So they said, now what you can do is you have the skills, you don't have talent trees anymore, but you just have skills that you assign to slots, and you can change those at any time. The new skills will have a 30-second cooldown before you can use them, but you can change them at any time. So let's say you're going through trash packs, you know there's going to be a lot of them. You can do AoE there. Then you're like, okay, a boss is coming up, I'll change my skills. Now you can also rune your skills to do different stuff, like it enhances the skills. Mm-hmm. And some runestones will only be available in Inferno, and they will be necessary for things in Inferno. And you will have to have, like, a barbarian be a tank in Inferno. And you will have to have a monk heal for some things. Like, things will actually function that way. And you'll actually have to have strategy, as in, like, oh, you do this, and you do this. Whereas in Diablo 2, it's just, like, everybody just shoot at it.
Yeah.
Until it dies. Like, that was the only strategy in Diablo 2.
Hit and run was the only thing to do.
So it's... And the one developer said, the drop I want the most in the game, gold, because that's how much I'm spending on repairs. So...
And gold was, like, worthless in Diablo 2.
Yeah, it was totally worthless, so... But yeah, so it sounds like it's going to be cool. I'm glad it's going to be hard. As a person, a veteran of the series, I'm glad it's going to be difficult. But yes, moving on, because we're killing it right now. We're killing it time-wise.
Yeah, we are.
We did last week, too. We flew along. Reset. Now, I don't know if you got a chance to read this article, Scott. I don't know if any of the other guys did either, but Reset is going to be a puzzle game. And it's coming out between two guys who are developing it. And it's going to be... I remember when I wrote the article title and I showed it to Brandon, and he was like, well, that doesn't make sense. You got to change that. I was like, no, that's how the game is going to work. So basically, it's single-player co-op. And what you're going to be...
Oh, yeah, no, I did. I saw you link it out. Yeah. No, I looked at it.
What you're going to
I didn't really understand.
Do,
I read it.
Is basically... And we don't know how it's going to work. I mean, but the guess that... I believe I got it from Indie Game Magazine. Their guess, and it makes sense to me. If you guys ever played Braid, you could go back in time in Braid, like rewind yourself to get to certain parts, and the actions you already did would stay, but then you would rewind and do that. So what I was what they're thinking, and I agree, is that you would go back in time to solve puzzles with yourself. So the original you would stay on the same, like, path or however it's going to work.
Like a ghost of you showing what you did before.
Right, yeah. Nuketown Noob Mike actually had a good comparison. It's like the ghost lap on Mario Kart.
Yeah, the ghost car. Yeah. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
So I think if it works, because it's so early in development, these are the first screenshots that they have on their blog of the game, which look beautiful, if that's how the game's actually going to look. But... if this works, it's going to be awesome, I think.
That's a cool concept.
I definitely like that. I remember there was a game that attempted something similar a long time ago when I was working at GameStop called PsyOps, and it was one of, like, the worst games ever.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember PsyOps, dude.
It was on PlayStation 2.
It was PlayStation 2,
It was a third-person shooter where you were, like, a secret agent with psychic powers. And there was, like, a single-player co-op thing where one person controlled the character and all the shooting, and then one other person would control all the psychic powers.
Yeah.
That just made way more sense to combine them into one. But, you know, they didn't describe it as, like, a single-player co-op, but that's what that made me think of, even though it's a horrible example of how that could work.
Yeah, they're also saying that it's going to rely really heavily on the story and the atmosphere of the levels, and they said the storytelling's gonna be done in, like, a whole different new way that hasn't really been done before. Which, again, no idea what that means, but
right.
Clearly they're being really ambitious. I just hope that we get something, some gameplay. And it looks like it's super early on in development, but hopefully we get something soon. So it's two Finnish guys making the game, so. Good luck to you, gentlemen, because it sounds kind of like a lot in one.
I'm intrigued.
So next up, we have an article by Hexadecimal about the Double Fine. Tim Schafer.
Dude, what a bro. Tim Schafer getting the support from the internets, man.
He's like, I want to make a game, internets. Let's
and the internets were like, yes, please make a game.
They're at like 1.4 mil or something right now.
I thought they passed 2 mil.
Did they? Jesus Christ. It's going to be like a point-and-click adventure game.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, basically, you're investing in the game, but you get the game. You don't really get any money. But so there's some insane levels of giving that you can do. Like, $15 gets you the game. Mm-hmm. There you go. It's like I think $50 gets you the game and like an art book or something. But then, all right.
Then we get into the heavy hitters here.
So I'm actually skipping over like $100. $250, you get like $250, you get an artist drawn, an artist from the game, drawn picture of yourself to have.
Dude, can you imagine if tons of people did that one? They're going to be like, oh, fuck. It's going to take forever.
Well, they said the $15 option has outsold all the other options combined, which...
Okay. Well, that makes sense, yeah.
But I think the $30 option has actually made more money.
Yeah, it's those two, though, for sure.
Yeah, those two.
Way, way higher than... 100 gets you, like, original artist renderings from the game and, like, all kinds of crazy stuff. But this is the crazy stuff, okay? If you have a lot of change sitting around, perhaps you bought the TF2 ring.
Yes.
Use it to insult Gabe.
Yes. If you pledge 15,000 or more,
oh my God,
you get dinner with Tim Schafer and members of the development team.
Wow.
So, and you're saying
this is the
that's
best
it, though? No,
wait for 20 grand. Okay. It's totally worth $5,000 more. You get dinner and a night of bowling with Tim Schafer and the development team.
What? 50, if they added on every entire development team blows you, then I think know, right? 20K.
I might invest in that.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like if you did do dinner and bowling, like Tim would turn to you and be like, you got this, right? Like you gave me $20,000. You can afford a night of bowling for five.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's like, you're picking the tab
but
up.
Then
right?
You get... So Ron Gilbert, I guess, is working on one of these. I don't know if this is an inside joke, because I don't know a lot about Tim Schafer, I'll be honest. $30,000 gets you a picture of Ron Gilbert smiling. Now, Ron Gilbert is a game designer, and he did like Monkey Island games, and I'm looking at his Wikipedia, because I don't really know who he is, to be honest. But his Wikipedia picture is hilarious, by the way. Picture of $35,000, pledge $35,000, you get an undoctored picture of Ron Gilbert smiling.
Wow. So well, is there any data on any of these being done?
Are you looking at it, Brandon? It's hysterical.
That is awkward.
It's like he didn't like even know that the picture was being taken.
Yeah. And that 35,000. 50,000, you become a character in the game.
That's kind of cool.
That is
I like
cool.
that a lot.
Pledge
if I was a multimillionaire, I'd do that in a second.
Pledge 150,000 or more. Tim Schafer will give up one of his last four remaining Triangle Box Day of the Tentacles in original shrink wrap, which was a classic game. And he's only got four of them. So it would actually maybe be worth, you know, something later on.
So act now. Yeah. For one, one easy payment of $150,000.
One easy payment.
So, yeah, if you have a lot of money to throw around, throw it towards that. But it's so cool that they were like, let's fund a game. And so the community was like, okay. And it's not even going to be some crazy, like, crisis graphics, you know, big-ass AAA thing. It's like, it's going to be a point-and-click adventure game.
This game better
be... hilarious. It will
be
hilarious.
It'll be good and funny.
Yeah.
It better be good as fuck, though, because now it's funny. Like, it's a little different when you fund a project from the internet. Like, the expectations are going to be through the roof, obviously, that this thing kills it, which I'm sure it will, but that's the...
People already have enough of a sense of entitlement when they just buy the game.
Yeah.
Let alone when they helped fund it.
Yeah.
They're going to act like they're a stockholder.
Yeah, even if they gave 15, they're going to be like, I'm a stockholder in this company. Are you kidding me? This is the shit you put out? Yeah.
But then,
I like the kind of precedent it sets. I don't think we've really seen a developer try and do this before, do like a Kickstarter project type thing to fund a new game idea. But I think we're probably going to see more stuff like this in the future. And it's like if you got a name that has made good games in the past, right, where people don't have to pledge money until like it, you know, becomes a reality, I think you're going to start seeing stuff like this pop up more and more. And I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
This is a great way, I think, to fund cult classics that really can't get publisher backing. But
And this is like a PC thing, too. It really is. It's like not going to happen on console. And continuing with Tim Schafer, he was saying he'd like to... he's trying to pitch a sequel, and you wrote this article, Nick, to Psychonauts, which is just a cult cult legend classic of a game. Yeah,
fantastic game.
Notch, who has some money lying around, I don't know if you knew
just
that.
Just a bit, I'm sure. A
few bucks.
Basically, informally, but this is actually like, it's we don't know that it's going to happen or anything, but he tweeted at Tim Schafer saying, yeah, dude, I'll fund that. So like,
wow.
And Notch is serious, man. He's interested in doing this. And, you know, we don't know anything beyond that at this moment. But I have a feeling, knowing Notch and how he built Minecraft from the ground up and all that, that he'll be down. I think Tim Schafer will be down, too. So
that's cool.
That's another example of how a cult classic can get through without traditional publisher support. Because that's definitely how you would classify Psychonauts as a cult classic. And also,
yeah, well, it flopped. It flopped when it came out.
Yeah, no, the sales were awful on it. But as it went on, through actually once it got put on Steam, it actually started to do really well as far as like units sold goes. It still didn't make that much money, but really, I mean, it was a critical success. Everybody loved it. I think it's one of the few games that Yahtzee from Zero Punctuation ever reviewed positively.
Yeah.
I think that was actually how I heard about it. And it's actually a really legitimately funny game. There are very few games that will actually make you laugh out loud. That's one of them. That one's it's really good.
So next up we have, and I think we're going to do this last. I think we're going to skip those two little hardware things. Well, actually second to last. Firefall, which still waiting on beta keys, bros. Come on, Red 5, hook me up. They're actually really, really good dudes. They've been emailing us directly and personally nice. With stuff, and that's actually this dev diary, which was on the site, but they sent me an email and said, you know, check this out. Basically, they came out with a dev diary. Mark Kern, the CEO of Red 5, came out with a dev diary on how they're going to roll out beta content and how they're going to roll out beta invites. They're going to do the invites in a pretty traditional way overall. Pretty much how Tribes Ascend did, where people who get in, them will get invites rolled out to them, and then they can give them out to people. And that way the servers will never be blasted with like a bajillion people at once, and they can kind of do stress tests when they want. But the coolest thing, though, is this is a way of rolling out content that, frankly, I've never heard of before. Basically, all the content will be there in the game to start. You are on planet Earth in this game, and you're going to start out in, let's say, the example he gives is like a 10-mile by 10-mile square, and you're going to have to build these. The whole Earth has been devastated. That's the whole setting here, by some like an asteroid or something, and so a lot of the Earth is covered, and they have to use these, they call it the melding that's covering. It's basically fog of war from RTS games. So places you haven't discovered are covered and you can't see them. So you're going to have to build with players on across servers these melding repulsion units, they're called. And as you build them, it will uncover more land. And you'll be able to use that as content. And it'll uncover new content.
Huh. Interesting.
And so basically, how fast the content gets rolled out, that's pretty much up to the players. And it gets everyone, as we said, the thing that an MMO is really there to do, to get people to play together, to achieve something. So that's how it is. World of Warcraft had, really the only one was the opening of Encourage.
I was gonna say that. It seems kind of like Encourage, where you had to have players working together to, you know, to get supplies and everything, like all these different events, but that wasn't cross server.
No, that was cross server, which made it fucking so annoying. We had to, they made it a bit grindy, but it was still really fun when the event actually occurred. But in WoW, you had to collect like a million light bandages and like a million. And, wow. You know, a bunch of other material, like tons and tons and tons.
Yeah, when you
stuff.
First saw that list, you were like, there is no way this is ever even going to get unlocked. And
yeah,
then,
exactly.
Like, that became everyone's goal, basically, to unlock the new instance. It unlocked in just record time. It was unbelievable seeing how quickly that stuff piled up.
Yeah, it was really funny because the servers back then were like high school. So
yeah.
Guilds were like cliques, and there were cliques within the guilds. And then, like, so people did legitimately hate each other, even on the same factions. Just really hated each other. But then as soon as this thing came out, it was like, okay, what can we all do together?
Everyone work together?
Yeah. We want to get this thing open. We've been playing Blackwing Lair for like a million years. Let's get this thing open. So
that is cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. So it sounds like that's kind of what this is going to be. I hope it's not as grindy. He was one of the head developers on WoW in Burning Crusade and Classic, so I'm sure he's learned a few lessons as to what not to do.
I don't know. Like that, the AQ thing, like it was kind of fun, but then at the same time, I didn't actually take part in that much of it because it was just like grinding supplies and kind of like boring, tedious stuff.
Dude.
So I'm hoping that given that it sounds like this is going to be like an integral part of the opening of the game, yeah. I think they need to make sure that this like whatever we're doing to get the melding off of this world is like actually fun and engaging.
Yeah, because I remember sitting outside of fucking, what's the instance inside Argamar? God, I'm blanking on this.
Oh,
Guild Wars 2.
Ragefire Chasm.
Ragefire Chasm, that's right.
Fuck that thing.
I remember going in there, me and Zugger logged like five characters outside each, and then so we would use up our dungeon lockouts and then switch characters to farm cotton for the bandages. Because you need like a million cotton bandages.
Wow. So, yeah.
And it was Alliance. Was it Alliance had their own and we had our own? Or was it combined? I forget.
It was. I think Alliance had different stuff than Horde.
Yeah, different stuff. That's right, yeah. So Horde had cotton bandages, and it was literally a million. So we just sat out there. It was near the end. We were at, like, 980,000 cotton bandages. And so me and our guild leader sat, like, enough characters that could solo the instance, and you could do it five times in an hour before it locked you out. So we just do it five times, hop on another character, do it five times, and just, like, do that over and over and over, and it was terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't sound fun. I like the sense of community I'm getting here, but that doesn't sound.
Yeah, the event,
that sounds like unpaid work.
Oh my goodness, the day.
The event was like close to crashing servers because everyone was out there to check
people
out.
Reactivated actually accounts to come back on, you know, to see this thing. Yeah. It was insane, but.
And
where I started playing.
So like you said, because he was involved in WoW at that time, I'm hoping that, you know, he's been through something like this and knows that they're gonna have to make something really exciting to get good word of mouth out there about the game. It's not gonna have the luxury of WoW with a huge player base that, you know, they're gonna grind it because they want the new instance, regardless of whether the event is fun or not.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And so that's cool, and I hope Firefall succeeds. The NDA is like super restrictive on it, so there's not much information out there right now, and there isn't many people playing. So we're hoping we get beta invites soon, and if we happen to get more than we need, we'll be sure to help you out. But next up and last, and very quickly actually, because we haven't really touched it that much. Actually, only I've touched it. CS:GO. I didn't even know this was coming, honestly. CS:GO.
Well, who did? Because like no one's in the beta.
Yeah, it's true. CS:GO.
I feel very Oh, go ahead.
Huge update today.
Yes.
Three new maps.
Shut up, Scott.
Three new maps: DE Inferno, Train, and Nuke. And Dust 2 is now the quick match map. Yes, still only one quick match map.
Yeah, I don't understand really the thought behind that right now. Maybe we thought when we were playing Dust 1 all the time that they were going to unlock like Dust 2. Mm-hmm. Because that was around for a long time, but that never happened. So I'm hoping maybe they'll unlock these other maps gradually.
But if you randomly happen to have 10 buddies in this beta,
there you go.
Don't,
yeah.
You can play Inferno, Train, and Nuke, or you can play on bots. I was playing Nuke today for a little while. Inferno is one of my least favorite maps in any game ever, actually. So I was playing Nuke. I didn't get to try a Train. They added a shotgun, the Nova shotgun, and the Bison and MP7, the overpowered MP7 from Modern Warfare 3, in the SMGs. And the CT-specific version of the Molotov is added. That's the incendiary grenade rather than a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah, I cannot wait to try this out in a little bit. Ugh,
and they also, John's number one bitch about this game, they reduced the dust in Dust and Dust.
They did. Very nice.
I can't wait for the laser gun updates.
And the hats.
I have an extremely unnameable source, shall we say. But some, this is obviously a huge update, but there's quite a bit more coming. And I can't really talk about, obviously, names or anything.
Yeah.
But let's just say, you know, some people were talking about, like, some stuff with, like, questions about recoil and stuff like that.
Which I felt did not work correctly.
Yeah, that stuff is going to be addressed in some way. I don't really know anything beyond that. I don't think that's saying too much, but it's going to be addressed for sure. Like, that's, I have that much confirmation, it sounds like.
I think the game would really benefit from zero recoil and MOABs.
I agree with that too. And only the MP7 you could use. That was the only gun you could use.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. And actually, you would just play on hard hat all the time.
And where the hell are the FMGs?
Akimbo.
Akimbo FMGs.
But yeah, no, this is a huge update, but definitely it sounds like there's going to be some obvious tweaks to the recoil and stuff. I mean, obviously that's not really like groundbreaking news because they're going to be tweaking it as it goes along. But that was a big concern of mine that, you know, they need to tweak that a little bit, and they definitely are working on that, it sounds like. So that's good.
Yeah. So that's out.
I'm excited. And I'm also
how they're releasing the keys. They're releasing more keys to the 7,000 most active players around the world
in
Source and 1.6.
Yeah,
that basically is just going to be like the 7,000 people with the worst computers on Earth.
That's true. They will have the worst computers.
Because I don't think that's a good barometer of actual like engagement with the Counter-Strike community. Just because you've logged a ton of hours.
I think it is. It makes sense. They don't care about casuals right now. They're trying to refine the game for people that already love it. So they're going to get the diehardest of the diehards to give them real feedback for the beta.
I don't even think that like that
Brandon, diehard are you just people are playing that much. Still?
Yes, but I'm saying you're probably going to end up giving keys to people that like that won't play the game. The most active people could be the most active players like constantly playing on pub servers and stuff, or maybe their computer's not very good and that's all they can play. And so you're giving them a key that's not really going to be used. I don't know. It seems like a weird way to give out keys because you have a lot of people that obviously want keys, and it seems like just having some sort of application or something, I guess, I don't understand the weirdness around like how they've distributed keys up to this point, and then how they're doing it now like still doesn't really make sense to me.
I'm looking at my time played on Counter-Strike Source now. I have 7 hours played. Do you think that puts me in the top 7,000?
Yeah, I think that puts you pretty close to the top. Let me look at my
You're the 1%.
That's like 5,000 or so, I'd say.
About 99% of my Counter-Strike playing was done before Steam existed. So my stats on Steam are going to be very understated.
Yeah, same, but just in Source, as far as it's been logged on this account, I have 1,696 hours.
Nerd.
On this right now, I don't know if I want to share this on the podcast, but they tweeted out from the CSGO dev thing, I'm going to share this anyway, that the top 500 players who played the CSGO beta got a free gift to give out of a key. Guess who's in the top 500 of who's played the beta the most?
Oh my god.
Some bro.
CSGO beta to give out. And Brandon, you know, all your negative Nancy stuff really has hurt your chances of getting this free gift.
This is going to be like an episode of Doug, isn't it? Where you're just trying to field all these gifts from us.
People yeah. just
begging we'll, you. We'll see if the podcast even goes up tomorrow. How about that?
Oh, wow. Well, all right. That's fine. I'll sit here with my gift and just look at it like a hoarder.
Leverage goes both ways.
Yes, it does. That's funny. But yeah, that's good. I'm excited. Was there anything else on the news side that we wanted to touch on?
We're moving into that R table, that round
table.
It's time for the KB Mod round table. Get ready to discuss a topic.
The round of the gangster.
So we put out a call on Twitter and on our forums this week for round table topics from you guys out there, the listeners.
Response.
And it was a good response. And the one we chose this week, and keep sending those in, by the way. Keep adding to the thread on the forums. And the one we got this week was how to balance games and real life and all that kind of stuff. That stuff that doesn't matter at all, that real life thing.
yeah.
So I thought kind of we'd share... maybe anecdotes or also, you know, any tips we might have on that, because I think we've all been in the throes of
gaming lovers.
Gaming addiction. Yes.
The lover being the game.
I obviously don't play video games. It gets in the way of my pussy time.
That's right. Yeah,
that's true. You really got it.
I just, God, so much. I don't have time for nerd activities.
There's probably a bunch of pussy just laying to the side of you right now.
Yeah, I don't even view them as people anymore.
It's just
like a number.
I don't know. The game I played the most hours was WoW. But the game that got me in the most trouble, I would say, is Diablo 2, actually. Mm-hmm. Pretty much my whole freshman year of college was by the wayside because of that game. So, yeah.
Go in more detail. So why? Just because of the addictive quality of Diablo?
Yeah, and the thing was, you know, you just constantly wanted, you were like, one more run, and the item will drop. One more run. The item will drop.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the chances,
you know, at this point, if it's a 1%, I have to be at 100 runs at this point. It's got to drop.
World of Warcraft had that element, but Diablo 2 was pretty much pure gambling.
Actually, Diablo 2 was worse, yeah, because it was pure gambling and because it was the same content over and over again.
Like a slot.
WoW, it was like, okay, maybe I'll hit level 40. At least I was progressing. In D2, it was like, I will kill Mephisto for the 800th time today, and the item will drop.
Yeah.
At one point, my now wife was like very close to being like, I don't think we're going to make this happen anymore.
Wow, just from Diablo.
And the thing is, she played the game too, but she would like come down on the weekends, and there were times when I was just like, one more, like sitting in the dorm room. And then it was like, and then at that point, it was kind of like, all right, I gotta step away from this for a little bit. But that was the game that had me the most, as far as, like, in an unhealthy way. And even WoW did, but I also, for a while there, I was kind of... WoW is a whole different thing for me, because when I was doing the PvP grind, which is the most time-consuming thing you could do with WoW back then, because you had to compete with bots, so you had to basically play for 24 hours a day. So
unless you had Chinese gold.
Well, unless you had John, who
John
stayed up.
Oh, yeah, played your account for you,
played my account all night, and then I would play it during the day.
Oh,
my wife worked. I was married at the time. My wife worked, and then I would play it. And I was like, I had like dropped out of grad school, not because of the game, because of some other stuff, but some other real-life stuff. But I was basically down the dumps for like a year and a half and just kind of played WoW. But even then, it didn't feel as unhealthy as the Diablo thing did, because it was like she was right there, and I was still just zoned out on this like thing. She was like right there in the room with me, and like, you know, we could have gone out and done something, you know, anything, just anything but sitting there running Mephisto or Pindleskin for the 900th time that day could have happened. So you just gotta like, either you have a moment where you wake up. If you think you're playing games too much, just fucking go outside. Like,
that's your tip. Somebody. Just go outside.
Now, my whole thing was always like, what I made a, even when I was deep into WoW, like I just said, if my friends were like, we are doing something tonight, I was going out. I was not ever going to be like, going to stay in and raid tonight. It was never, ever that. Like if it was a Friday night, I wasn't staying in. That was just me, but
I definitely had, I don't even know if World of Warcraft was really the problem. It was more just the distraction from the problem, you know, cause I was like, I was in college and didn't really have any direction, broke up with my girlfriend and just sort of like fell into like a pseudo depression and just was like, fuck it, World of Warcraft all day, every day. And then my
sleeping
disorder kind of went into like full blown, it just went completely unmanageable and shit. Cause I sleep in the morning. Basically I'm nocturnal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I for a while was able to control it so that I could attend school. But soon it was just, I had morning classes and I couldn't even be awake for them. I'd go weeks without attending them. And it, like, basically World of Warcraft was just an excuse to not think about how much time and money I was wasting, which was really, really bad. You know, it was just kind of like a panic depression thing where I wasn't really thinking about it. And eventually it went to the point where I realized like how much time and money I was wasting and how I had no direction in school, didn't have any idea what I wanted to do, and just dropped out. And I kept playing World of Warcraft, and at that point it really wasn't that bad because I didn't really have anything to excuse myself. I was working a job and everything. Eventually I quit World of Warcraft just because I was bored of it. I just didn't want to play it anymore. I was like, I played this game for fucking 4 years and done with this. You know, it wasn't
seven over here.
Yeah, I mean, you're still playing, right?
Yeah, I play one night a week with friends.
I was at the same point where you know, if somebody asked me if I was doing something, yeah, I was definitely down. But I was also at points where I was just so withdrawn from everything, and I'm still a little bit antisocial, as you guys probably noticed my lack of presence in Vent. But I was so withdrawn at one point that I would rather just sit there and play WoW, not even with other people, not even like group up and run a dungeon. I mean, like literally just play by myself for hours rather than do anything with people. So it sort of became an excuse to just withdraw from the rest of the world. Nowadays I have a good thing going. I have no social life, but that's mostly because I'm nocturnal, not because of video games.
Yeah, so, you work a shift that doesn't afford it really that often.
Pretty much. I mean, like, I still see my friends on the weekends and stuff, but I work 3 to 11, and then I come home and I play video games and work on YouTube videos pretty much all night. Almost every night. Not every night, but almost every night. And then, I don't really lose anything except the social life that I don't have anyway, because I'm up until, like, 8 in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I can relate to that in a lot of ways, obviously, with the game we were just referring to, Counter-Strike, back in the day. But in a different reason, so obviously this is not like an MMO addiction or anything like that, but I was playing, obviously, competitively for a long time, playing Counter-Strike Source, like, when it came out, and then got into the competitive side, and, my junior year in high school was, like, such a blur. Like, I don't even remember, I would say, like, most of it, because I would come home from school at, like, I don't know, like 3:30 or 4, maybe a little later than that. And I would, you know, I would eat dinner and then I would go downstairs and we'd play or practice or whatever, do whatever, just stick around and then go over strats and stuff. You know, this is all when I was like focused on like being a real competitive gamer. And I never really attained anything. I played in a lot of placement tournaments. I went to a couple LANs, won a little money here and there, but not anything ever like that would ever quantify professionally, as far as that game went. But we like took it real hardcore, and like, so I would play till like 3 or 4 in the morning, and then I would sleep for like 3 hours and get up at 7 and just like sleep through school and just be absolutely miserable and just do it. And I did that for like 6 months. And, you know, my parents, we had so many fights over it. And, you know, looking back, they had, I mean, clearly valid points. Yeah. Like, what are you doing? Like, my grades weren't bad. Like, I think junior year, which is like a really important year, obviously, I think when it comes to colleges and stuff, I pulled like a B to a B plus. I could have done a lot better if I had applied myself, but I was like content to just skid by with that. That made my parents happy enough. But, in one sense, I look back on that fondly because it was a lot of fun and I met a lot of the coolest people and a lot of friends that I still have now through playing that game and playing competitively. And for me, it replaced a part of, because I never really played sports in high school. I played I played like recreationally, but I never played anything real hardcore. When it came to sports, so that like filled the need for competition with me, and my dad didn't understand that, you know, because my brother actually was a little younger than me, but he was like a big, I wouldn't say a baseball star, but he was really good. My dad was a baseball star when he was younger, so my dad just hated it. We'd have so many battles over it, and I'd be like, you don't understand. And I remember at one point I said to him, this bothers me so much, because he clearly didn't understand. I said, and he wasn't interested in it at all. He just liked to fight about it, and I would try to explain it, and he'd just be like, he didn't care. Yeah. I'd be like, it's annoying because you don't take any interest in any of the stuff that I'm interested in, which was true. And it's funny, like, he actually apologized to me, actually later down the road. This is getting deep, but, you know, cause he was like, I'm sorry that, you know, I didn't really take an interest in your activities and stuff like that, which was good. Like, I appreciated that from him, but I also see from his perspective, like, he's like, what the fuck are you, you know what I mean? Like, I was just, I was so into it, and, but it definitely got out of hand. And I mean, obviously So stay in school, kids, at the end of the day. But I will point out that I did get a job partially because I did that. Obviously, I work at Machinima now, and I wouldn't have ever gotten into the gaming world as hardcore as I did if I didn't spend that time doing that. So I guess it works both ways. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I mean, I've had a lot of, fights with my parents and struggles when I was in middle school and high school over, how much I was playing and stuff. And similar to you, Scott, I mean, there were some times that I was playing an awful lot. I was into Star Wars Galaxies Heavy and then World of Warcraft. And before that, kind of feeding my competitive side with ET scrims and that sort of thing. Yeah. And so it was kind of the same with me. Like in high school, I was super focused on my grades. And so I would come home and open up my textbook, like at my computer desk, and just basically do homework and play games, like until I went to bed almost every night. And so I justified it by telling my parents, look, I'm making straight A's. I'm doing what I need to do, kind of lay off. And so looking back on it, I don't think I was very well balanced back then. But it, I think the balance is hard to get, especially when, like, that's just what I was into. I liked games, and I didn't have any, like, amazing physical ability. So, I wasn't going to be on the football or basketball team or anything. And games are what I enjoyed and what I was good at. So I think I kind of went overboard, too. But looking back on it, I mean, it did help me focus on my grades, and that kind of set in motion kind of getting into college and getting to where I am now. So I don't know that I really regret it, but even today, I mean, I still, with work and everything, kind of still struggle to balance like gaming and other hobbies and social activities and, try to be a well-rounded person. But I don't know. I think it's different for everyone. I mean, obviously we're hosting a gaming podcast here, so we're probably going to be right on the one end of the spectrum.
I'm old.
Yeah. But, and how many hours of TF2 do I have played this week?
Yeah. But I think the good thing, at least now, I don't think I'm old enough to do a kids these days rant, but I think gaming like as a pastime is a lot more accepted now. Whereas back then, my parents were the exact same as yours, Scott. Like, they didn't understand why I was wasting my time, on the computer and doing that sort of thing. Cause they just, like, they didn't really have an interest in it and they didn't get it. And I think now, even most people's parents have at some point picked up like an iPhone game or something. They have more of a connection with gaming now that I think back then they really didn't. So I think it's easier for kids these days to have that conversation with their parents. Whereas back then, I mean, I know my parents weren't hearing any of it.
Yeah, no, mine really either.
I guess I was kind of lucky because my dad was, he wasn't really much of a sports guy. He was more, his competition, he grew up in a rough neighborhood, so his competition was like fist fighting people. So he can't really expect me to do much of that. Especially his after school activity was his mom owned a dance studio in this like ghetto ass neighborhood, and she made him dance. Wow. So kids would like try to fight him all the time because he was like stuffed into a leotard and forced to be a flower in mom's dance.
Wow.
And he's a tough bastard to tough. Too.
Yeah.
So
that's funny.
Yeah. Very understanding though.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I envied that. I really wish my I don't know. I mean, obviously you can't force anyone to be interested in anything, but I was always jealous of kids. Like I had a friend named Matt whose dad was like even more into gaming than he was, and so like it was just so awesome. So like they ended up playing like WoW together, and I don't know. I think that's cool. Like if you have that is if you have parents that do that, that is sweet.
Well, I'm still
take that for granted.
I'm still like pretty familiar and friendly with one of my WoW friend's mom. Like her.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've never even met either of them, but they're both awesome.
Well, let's be honest. Cool. You've met his mom.
Come on.
It's a she actually.
Her mom. You've met her mom. All right, Nick Fenton, you've been awful quiet over there. You got to spill your guts now.
I think he's AFK for a moment.
Oh, is he?
He's trying to balance his podcast with dressing.
I was going
to
say, he's like,
he's direct
balancing
quote
his podcast time with bodily functions.
I make pee now.
I think it turned into a shit, to be honest, because he's been...
was a minute ago.
That was a minute ago. Okay.
as far as ways to kind of balance it, I mean, yeah. My main thing is, and I never let myself get this well, they did ignore my significant other, which is, you know, stupid as well. But I would never, ever, ever, not go out with my friends. They were like, you know, we're having a party this Friday. I would go to the party. I would not.
That's a really good example. That's a good tip. Because if you start getting into that, like you were saying, Nick, I did the same thing with mine. It became to the point where, because we would have to scrim and we'd play matches. Like, I had no time. Like, if people were like, hey, do you want to do that? I'd be like, no, I have to. I wouldn't tell them I'd have to scrim. I'd just make up some. It would depend on who it was. I'd just make up some BS excuse. But that really does. Once that pattern starts, it's so hard to break that.
Well, especially raiding in World of Warcraft. Someone invited you out on raid night, no chance. You got a barrel of excuses for that.
Yeah, that's why when I left Spirestone to join actually a world-class guild that I was in for a little bit, they only raided 3 nights a week. But I was like, I got to cut down on time, but I really am addicted to the...
You notice that Dan's idea of cutting down is raiding only 3
nights a week. No, in Classic, everybody raided 5 nights a week. Everybody.
I just wanted to point that out for our listeners. No way shocks me, but I know it will shock some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, back in the day, you had to. You had to, because you had to coordinate 40 people. That was the thing. So it was like, well, we might as well have as many times as possible so we can get people on. And so then insane. I was like, I have to not, near the end of the 5-day that when I was in that guild, I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I would never go, as I said before, I would never go Friday. I would never go to that one. I would always go out.
Yeah.
And so with the new guild, I was like, I still want to be competitive. Because at that point, the end game was still a competition and still very difficult to be good at. And so I was like, I want to be a part of that still. Just like you said with the competition thing. That was like my competition. Mm-hmm. I like to be in that. And I was like, I still want to be in a good guild, but I really, really don't want this to be 5 nights a week anymore. So I went to a guild that we were top 50 in the world, but we only raided Wednesday, Thursday, and Sunday, and that was it. So it was like never on a weekend. And
I think the important thing is not getting into a game that's going to require some sort of dedication unless you're really serious about it and you really plan on making some money on it. That's I don't know. Maybe that's shallow of me to think that you have to be making money in order to ditch your friends. The only time that I'll ever say no for anything video game related these days is if I have to work on something YouTube related. And for a lot of people, even though that's a hobby, I'm starting to make some decent money off of that. And usually it's only if I have to edit Pokemon. If I have to edit, Mario or TF2, it's not a big deal. It's just my personal channel. It's just for fun. But when it comes to Pokemon and I'm on a weekly schedule and I have to get that out and there's money on the line, I'll be like, no, I can't do anything tonight. That's the only time.
Yeah, I think the only advice, the best advice I could give is don't be careful about getting involved in MMOs specifically.
Yes.
And actually even these free-to-play games too that have these progression systems, and that's pretty much at some point it'll be all games. But getting locked into that feeling that you have to play to keep up with everyone else, I know that that's what kind of kept me, that's what kept me addicted probably for a long time to World of Warcraft for sure. And I don't necessarily regret that because I met a lot of cool people, Dan being one of them, but you have to be really careful about your time because it can easily slip away when you start getting involved in that. So I would say before you go off and play the Old Republic or decide you want to play WoW to level 20, heed our warning. Be ready to get addicted to it because you don't think it'll happen and then all of a sudden it does. And so just catch yourself before you let it take over parts of your life that it shouldn't.
Especially when you want, if you're someone like myself, not that I'm the greatest player at anything, because I'm not, but in my head, I'm always like, I want to be really good at this.
right.
Like when I started a game. So with WoW, it was like, once I started PvPing in Classic, I was like, okay, now I want to really do this right.
When PvP was actually fun.
Yeah, and yeah. But then it was like, okay, so now that I'm ranking up, now I have to play more because I have to keep up. So now I have to do this, even though it was, you know, a totally immaterial thing that didn't matter at all.
Yeah.
Like, MMOs especially, it's not like, I can hop on, play a couple rounds of COD 4, hop off. You can't, right. Like, yeah. You think you can do that with WoW, but playing for a half an hour in WoW doesn't really get you anywhere. Like,
yeah, there, you can accomplish nothing in that game in half an hour.
So,
well, and you can take a night off of COD 4, whereas, like, you feel WoW pulling you in, yes. Especially with, like, daily quests and all that. It's like, you don't want to miss a day of potential progress.
Yeah. I never felt like, when I played WoW, I never felt like I could go to bed without having some hours logged in that game. For me, it was an everyday thing. And such thing as just sitting down and playing WoW for an hour.
But yeah, when I was doing like homework back in high school, I would be logged into WoW and just tabbed out like to keep an eye on guild chat and stuff. Like that's how bad it was. Yeah. So I was obviously, like, I wasn't paying attention to the amount of time I was spending on it. But looking back on it, it's like, I think you can play it in moderation, but it's so easy to just get sucked in and start avoiding your friends and, you know, canceling plans and all that. It's really easy to get sucked into that.
See, I knew I was going to get addicted to WoW. I went into it full well knowing that I have a really addictive personality and that and my friend was like begging me to play. And I was like, I'm going to get addicted, dude. I'm going to college soon because this was like at the end of high school. It's like, I really can't afford to get into it. So he was like, no, you won't get addicted. That's how my friend talks. You won't get addicted. And literally, that's not a joke. And eventually... Wow. And eventually, like 2 years later, you know, like I'm home for like winter or something, winter break or something. And he's going, and you said you weren't going to get addicted. He's like, and you said you were going to get addicted. You were afraid. I was like, yeah, now I'm playing it 7 days a week for at least 3 hours. So are you refuting my point or something?
Yeah.
That's funny.
To me.
I mean, I would say two things to add to that. I mean, one thing, obviously, our version of moderation is different than other people's version of moderation because we're hardcore
only
gamers.
Only 3 nights a week.
Only 3 nights a week of raiding is pretty light. So, no, but one thing I would say, too, as far as, like, I'm not coming from the MMO realm. I'm coming from, obviously, the competitive shooter realm or playing FPSs.
Thing, if you take it off, is. Dude, you lose your shot, you lose...
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you let other people down. There's that element too.
No,
oh, yeah. Because if you're not on, they're like, "Well, we can't scrim tonight. What am I supposed to get a
raid? We can't raid tonight."
With WoW, that was the biggest thing. We can't raid if so and so doesn't get on, and then so and so gets on another day and just gets shit from everybody, and then
exactly.
You know, yeah, they don't
want to have to get on.
Yeah, and that's exactly. But I was gonna say on the flip side of that, it also I actually learned a lot, like. Cause, I mean, it's obviously formative years in high school when you're younger, and like, you learn how to like, dude, egos, I mean, you know, all that stuff just from playing WoW. But like, when it comes to like competitive shooters, like the guy on the team who thinks he's the greatest thing ever, but has the worst at, like, all that kind of stuff, like many life lessons, it's funny, man. Like, you learn how to deal with all that kind of stuff at a younger age, especially if you play anything competitively or hardcore. Like, you just have to, and I think that can create good life lessons, and like, also too, like dealing under pressure, not in the same, I think in the same way, like, there's a really good video, frag video talking about just in Counter-Strike. It's, I think, someone from Complexity. I think it was Sunman. But he talks about, like, there's no other feeling in the world of, like, being, like, having to clutch around. And especially, I mean, these guys are playing on stages for $50, $100,000 back in the day. But, like, that tension and stuff like that, I mean, that is cool to be able to experience that. And right. I think that does go a long way in helping develop you as a better person in a lot of ways to be put into that stuff. So there's also benefits. Obviously, it's easy to slide way too far over to the other side.
Yeah.
But well, anyway.
My main ground rule, I mean, we got to wrap this up here, but my main ground rule was always games will never become ahead of my friends. So that was like in my head, it was like, even if I play 12 hours today, if they call me, going out. And I kept to that. And I think that was a lot of what kept me from really going into a deeper depression and that kind of stuff. And like just kind of being sucked into the game completely and just leaving everything else behind. I mean, just make some ground rules for yourself. If you can't be accountable to yourself and you're not with your parents anymore. If you're in high school, actually parents are a good thing to have for that. But if you're not, if you're going off to college, realize, A, someone's paying a lot of money for you to be there, and you should probably go to class.
Yep.
The social aspect of college is fucking awesome. So don't take that for granted. Go out, do shit. Steal a shower out of a basement. Poop off a roof. I did. It was fun.
Can't do that in WoW yet.
Yeah, I can't.
They might make it so you can poop off a roof, though. In the Panda update? Maybe Pandas can poop off roofs.
Yeah, I mean, the rest of the update looks like shit anyway.
Basically, you got to keep yourself in line. That's the main thing.
Yep.
You can't do that. You know, you got to keep a grip.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the Twitwater questions.
And now it's time for Twitter questions with the KB Mod Podcast.
Twatter twits.
Yes.
All right. I have a few. Did you actually get any, Brandon, or am I?
I have a couple.
Okay, I have one from SRV as God, and I guess this goes out to the whole group. Are you a wizard?
Yes.
Yep. Actually, Nick is a wizard in Kingdoms of Amalur, and I'm.
No, I'm a sorcery build.
Faggot.
Yes, we are wizards.
All of us.
Wizards. I don't know. I don't know if there's any way of knowing. How would I know if I'm a wizard or not?
Do you have a pointy hat?
Do you have a wizard sleeve?
Do you have a neck?
Yes.
Wizard.
I'm
usually more fond of the stealth classes myself. But you could always run some sort of Skyrim hybrid.
Here we go. You had one, Brandon?
Other than KB Mod, this is from Airsumu. Airsumu? I guess that's how you pronounce that. Other than KB Mod, what are your favorite websites?
Just in general or just gaming?
In general? Just what we go to?
Just in general, yeah.
Reddit.
I'm on Reddit all day.
Reddit.
Yep. Yep. All day.
Prefetch.org.
Man.
Bulbapedia, the Pokemon wiki.
That I cannot say.
Ars Technica.
Ars is probably my number one news site, at least.
eHarmony.
I use Vibe, which is like an African American dating service.
Wow.
I don't know if it is, actually. I just made that up. Go to vibe.com.
Scott spends all his time on JDate, the nice Jewish one.
That's true. JDate is sweet. What is vibe.com, Nick Fenton? I'm curious now.
Vibe.
Is that a magazine?
Yeah, I think it's a mag. I think Vibe is a magazine.
Vibe, redefining hip hop.
If there was, if there was like a race specific dating website, would they actually have like a color threshold limit on your profile picture?
They might.
We have to make yourself dabbling in the territory.
there's too much white.
Tread carefully here.
Yeah, tread carefully. No, but really though, I think there are racial. I don't know.
There's definitely Jewish and Christian. I mean, there's religion based ones for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Can you bypass the filter with blackface?
They should have some sort of picture thing where you have.
They're like, you are definitely a white guy. You are not black. Clearly, like
no, come on.
Oh, your interests include Coldplay. You're rejected.
You are clearly white.
I would say I spend a fair amount of time. I spend time on Reddit, like probably everyone else. Maximum PC is one of my favorite news sources, and then also tested.com, which is a couple old Max PC editors. That's a great site as well.
I read a bunch of web comics a lot. Dr. McNinja is probably the funniest thing on the internet right now.
I only read XKCD.
I've never really gotten the webcomics.
Yeah, XKCD is my main webcomic.
XKCD is pretty fantastic as well. It's one of the ones I keep up with. Penny Arcade is pretty hit or miss, but I'm impressed that they still managed to be funny after like 15 years.
And Dead Winter. I believe it's Dead Winter. I read that one for a long time. It's like a zombie comic. Mm. But it's
LPSG.org.
The very first link on my toolbar, my favorites toolbar, is probably my favorite. I don't know if it's a website so much as just a hosted image on Imgur, but it's 56hzu.jpg. Yeah,
that's my favorite. I know that URL.
The first thing, actually, let's just go through this real quick. My first thing on my favorites, actually, because I don't actually keep favorites to have favorite websites, oddly, is Quake Live, actually. It's my top one.
Okay.
And I never play Quake Live.
So there you go. I do go to PC Part Picker a lot. I know we had him on last week, but I seriously make builds all the time. I also have the Minecraft wiki up here. But what's everyone's first? So you literally have the owl picture as your top.
Dude, I've tweeted it out before. It's the very first one, followed by the an image of, I forget who it is, some girl on a YouTube video sliding, whipping her hair back and forth. followed by another one of a funny web comic about anyway, someone who's pregnant and has a baby. And then KB Mod is the fourth, but you know, it's still in front of Reddit.
Brittany Louise Taylor.
My first is Dr. McNinja, and then it kind of goes into a bunch of web comics and then news sites. So KB Mod's in there, all my social media sites, blah blah blah. And for some reason, I have this on here. This is a GIF. I don't know why I have that.
Dad teaching his kid to bike.
Oh my god!
All right.
Oh god! Oh god! Oh god!
That is. I have no story for that. That's just there.
The second greatest comment on this. Well, fuck this kid. He's so.
Of course, there's BBC. The BBC watermark up in the corner.
Yeah. Oh my god. Wow. Yeah.
That's so good, guys. Oh my god. We're not gonna post this link, and that's gonna make it even better.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go find it. Wow.
All right.
Follow me on Twitter to find it.
So I have another insightful question here. This is from Marcel Potty, which is a fucking awesome name. But what is your favorite kind of bread?
Ooh. Wheat. I'm a big rye bread fan. I love rye bread.
Ugh. Get the fuck
really?
Out.
I like potato bread.
I hate rye.
Potato bread's good.
Potato bread's good.
Dude, you've got a nice marbled rye, a little bit of...
For you.
Potato bread is?
Yeah, yeah, it's really bad for you. It's basically pure sugar.
Well, it depends on if you get real wheat bread or the fake wheat that's just bleached. Bleached. They're like, oh, this is wheat.
I like what most people would consider like disgustingly whole grain.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I just like the flavor. Like, it's not a health thing. I'm lucky enough to actually really enjoy it. But I also really like pumpernickel.
So you just like staying very regular.
Yeah.
I've never had a preference for bread. I like it baked.
Oh, and then the Italian rolls in Philly, like the Italian market and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to have a good roll on your cheesesteak, too. I mean,
if you give you a roll on your cheesesteak.
The bread is like 60% of the cheesesteak in quality.
60 is better. Yeah, 90 is a little strong.
Yeah, 90, but, yeah.
Dan, how do you feel about Philly?
Philadelphia, most filthy, terrible place on the planet.
My grandmom dropped that. She was like, they've been calling it that before I moved here. My grandma's like 80.
Well,
Phil.
That's an old ass nickname.
I just like regular white bread. Wow. I don't intend to be racist with that at all.
You gotta go wheat.
Of course,
it's gotta be white bread.
Now, what's your favorite dish with bread? Mine would be cinnamon toast.
French onion
cinnamon toast
soup.
Crunch? Damn, you rich.
Oh, no. Oh, Nick, did you not listen to the podcast 2 weeks ago? Oh,
no, I must have missed that one.
Oh, you should have, because we had a favorite breakfast cereal question. It was legend.
I'm going to say French onion soup, though.
Ooh, that's bread a good
in
choice.
It?
Favorite.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah, in the bottom there's just bread.
Oh yeah, no, I know. I'm just trying to think of
that's an awfully interesting
French
answer.
Toast. Oh, like French toast is fucking delicious.
French toast is strong.
Do we count pancakes or crepes as bread?
They're sweet bread. It's bready.
I might go with French crepes then. Delicious shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you could quantify that as bread. It's
a batter base.
Crepe is its own thing.
Y'all ever had those,
egg in it.
Have y'all ever had like where you get an egg and you put it in the center of the bread?
Yeah, you cut the hole out.
Yeah, eggs in a basket. Yeah,
eggs in a basket. Oh yeah, I love that.
Really good. I make that shit all the time. I make a mean breakfast sandwich.
Good too.
I make a mean English muffin breakfast sandwich.
Ooh, I would love
I'd like to
try
wake
that.
Up next to you and have you cook some of this.
Oh, yeah, Zach.
I'd like you to bring it to me in bed while I lay nude.
Like, no eating grapes off
spilling
the vine.
Into my chest hair.
There's no sheets or blankets on Scott's bed. He's just laying naked. Just like, I'm fine. I can just stay through the night like this.
It really, you know, at first, when I first started doing that, it was uncomfortable. But now I'm so used to it. It's just okay.
The young Egyptian boy fanning you with a palm leaf.
You're just on a mattress. That sounds so uncomfortable.
This is how I sleep. Don't judge me. I just lay naked.
Yeah, you take close some my girl eyes. Home. She's like, "Where's your bedding?" Oh, I don't really use it. I just sleep naked bedding? On the mattress. Does that bother you?
I have been cool. Trying to make it a point. If I ever stay with someone else, I want to make them breakfast rather than vice versa because I'm a fucking boss at it.
Dude, so. I gotta try.
Come to Pittsburgh.
Dude. I'm a sucker
make
for a good breakfast,
and then we can go to the Hopper House.
Oh my god, dude, don't tempt me.
I think breakfast might be my favorite meal of the day just because there's so many good fucking things to eat for breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
Eggs, dude. Cereals, and breads. And,
it's the main bacon time of day.
Oh, yeah.
My parents were smart enough to get me an IHOP gift card for Christmas. That was very insightful of them.
Hey, we have it.
Let's see. I've got one, actually. Just because I'm curious of the answer on this one. From _Monroe. He asks, opinions on using a wrist rest for your mouse pad, and does anyone use one? So I'll expand the question and just ask which mouse pads do you guys use, and do you use a wrist rest?
I do not. I just use a flat steel series, and I have a manly fucking wrist callus for it.
Yeah, yeah, I use a rocket fish, the same one John uses, actually. And I like
game.
It a lot, actually. And it's like $12 at Best Buy or something. Get it before Best Buy goes out of business. So, but
yeah, I have the Best Buy. Sorry, I zoned out for a second. I have the Best Buy Allsop, ALLSOP. It's a hardtop one though. I got it years ago, along with my MX518 that I've had for like 6 or 7
years. Wow, you still use one of those,
dude? Wow. Yeah, it's this original. I can't even see the logo anymore on this thing. It's so faded. But yeah, I can't get away from the MX518. I love it.
I don't have anything. I just use my
desk.
You
use a desk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, that explains why you're so bad.
Well, I know I'm bad, but
wow. Dude, he's pretty good at Jurassic Park.
He
I'm
is
gonna be
really
honest.
Good at
don't
that.
Know me.
You don't.
Trip canceled.
Top 500 in the world. I got a draft part 2 the game beta key for you guys.
Oh, that's funny. Well, mock me more. You're not pooping in my bed. Don't talk to me again.
On your face.
I have actually played games at like a friend's house before. On a mouse pad with a wrist wrap? Bad idea. Terrible. It knocks into the thing all the time.
I think it's hard to see game that with. I think like I've because my mom uses one, and so I obviously have to use it whenever I'm fixing her computer. And when you're just sitting there and using it like for everyday stuff, you're like, oh, this is kind of comfortable. But then I think if you try to do any sort of like radical type movement, like you will in a first person shooter, I don't know that it works. Like I think you lose too much control.
Listen, if you are 75 and a grandmother and have a vagina, it's okay to use one of those.
Well, if you're a grandmother, I hope you had a vagina.
Wow, dude, that is a manly wrist callus, dude. Wow.
Yeah, Jake, he just tweeted out a picture of his wrist callus. I gotta say, I don't have any sort of callus.
Yeah,
like
I don't have anything. It's just
pussies.
It's just wrist.
The tweet is amazing, too. Fucking manly.
That is a serious callus right there.
I think it's because I just pivot right there. So.
Yeah, it must be. I think I'm more in like the center of my wrist.
You probably also rub penis when you masturbate, but that's another story.
You see how callous my dick is.
This thing is
or maybe
ridiculous.
That's my fantasy.
I could stick that thing in a fire and feel nothing. I could fuck fire.
Wow. That's the manliest thing I've ever heard.
That is really the manliest thing ever.
All right. Wow. I have a question, and this one has something on the line. Mr. Acorn tweets, don't answer this yet. Do you like cats? Answer this in your podcast, and I will record myself taking a dump.
Like audio or video?
Yeah, I think
that's what we just have to answer for us.
We just have to answer it. It doesn't matter if we like them or not, then. We're just answering.
Yes. I don't like cats. Cats suck.
I do not like cats either.
Yeah, no,
very few amount of cats that I like.
Depends entirely on the cat. I like dogs more than cats, but some cats are okay.
Yeah,
yeah.
There are definitely total assholes that are good. I find a majority of cats are total assholes, including the ones that are like I'll go to somebody's house and they're like, "Oh, look, kitty loves me." Like that thing thinks you're its bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
But there are a select few cats that are pretty awesome, but dogs I pretty universally like. I'm definitely a dog person.
Yeah. The best quote ever to sum up this whole debate is the fact is I forget who said it, but he said, "Cats have servants, dogs have masters." That's how it works.
That's true.
You want a box of shit in your house? Get a cat.
Yeah. Exactly. Dogs. Yeah. Dogs fucking love you no matter what you do. They look up. The cats are like, I don't give a fuck if you're here or not. They could care less. Though I will say the coolest cat I've ever met, and is actually I really like a lot. I this only cat I've ever liked is Hutch's cat. Hutch's cat Jack is
name
like
drop. Literally cool. A dog.
It's not name dropping.
Oh look, I'm trying to say, hang out with Hutch. Look, guys.
See, Natters' dog is a prick. His fish is okay.
I haven't even shook Senator's hand since I've been here. So how about that? So
wow, is he that aloof? Is this the shadow?
No, he's just that short
image now.
No, he just got back from a trip. But anyway, that cat, dude, like it will sit in your lap. It's like a dog. So that's the first cat I've ever seen like that. But I think that's rare for cats. I mean, I've never.
Honestly, I think my judgment of a good cat is dog-like qualities, so the answer is no. I don't like
cat
that.
Dog. So, Nickelodeon.
Get the fuck out of here.
I think we have a couple questions left.
You worst have cartoon?
Dude, it's a cat and a dog.
I don't have anything cute.
Get out of here.
What is the most annoying or scary sound from any video game on the PC? And that's from Ross Geddes.
Interesting.
Any annoying sound.
Yeah, creeper.
Okay, that's an awful sound. That's what's scary. It from?
That's Minecraft creeper, dude.
Oh yeah.
That's a fucking horrible noise to hear.
You know it's too late.
Yeah. When you hear that part of it, you're like, oh fuck.
You just have to pray that it's caught on some geometry.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a terrible noise.
I'll say for people that watch videos of Counter-Strike, fire in the hole. Especially if it's Source TV, because I get all these comments. They're like, I think there was a fire in the hole. Hey guys, was there fire in the hole? People just hate that. They're like, oh my god, can you shut that off? I'm like, no, I can't. But I love that sound. So
I think the sound that's most likely to make me put a hole through my monitor is me chasing a Phlogistonator pyro that's about to die, and then hearing. That's the sound of him gaining all of his health back and coming around the corner with instant crits.
That's great.
Fuck that weapon.
Ooh. I'm trying to think, man.
The voice of the girl from Jurassic Park, the game.
That's pretty annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everything.
Actually, every voice actor in that game.
It's so awful.
I think.
Is it just me, or in that game, was there weird sexual tension between the daughter and the father in that game? Something's going on in that game.
It's weird, dude.
That's weird as hell. I was uncomfortable watching.
If we don't get off this island quick, we're gonna have incest.
Seriously, there's some messed up stuff
going
on there.
The sound in Amnesia when you start to go a little bit insane,
where it kind of it sounds like his neck is cracking.
Yes, dude.
Yes, that is horrible. That is horrible.
Pretty much any sound in Amnesia is the worst sound you've ever heard.
Yeah,
because it means shit is going down. But oh. Oh, Doom 3 reloading sound, because it happens every 3 seconds. With Scott.
Yeah. I never reload in that game. That's
also,
90%
the imp sound, actually, I find really annoying in that game. As soon as they throw their fireball. I'm trying to think about it. The creeper one is just one of the worst, because then you're just like, fuck, man. Something I just built just got destroyed.
At the very best, you're going to die and have to run back from wherever you last slept.
I'm trying to think. There's some games, and I can't remember them now, that have just, oh, I'll tell you what. And in WoW, they put an option to turn it off, thank God, but when you first start playing it, really know. The out of resources voice.
Oh, yeah. I remember that from, dude. I didn't turn it off.
Oh, Jesus Christ. As a rogue.
So annoying.
As a rogue, you just hit your sinister strike button 8 million times in a row, like you're just spamming it, and you just hear
not enough energy, not enough energy, not enough energy, not enough energy, yeah. not enough energy for like.
Yeah, there was a whole add-on to get rid of it. I had that add-on from like I don't even remember from back in vanilla up until I quit.
You didn't have that long ago in vanilla. You couldn't get rid of it. It would just constantly be there. And then they finally put in an option to get to turn off the out of resources sound because it was one of the worst implemented things ever.
Well, and also not just the sound, but the thing on your screen. Like all the error messages going down your screen.
Not ready yet. Not ready yet. Yeah. Not ready yet.
Yep.
No, yeah, that was the other one because on Global Cooldown, I cannot use that ability. That ability isn't red yet. Not red.
Yes, yes. That's what I was getting. So when I started WoW way, way, way late. So like in the last like year and a half or 2 years ago, when obviously there's options in the menus now to turn that off without add-ons. But when I discovered that, I was like, oh, thank God. Because that really was. Like, even starting out early, it was awful.
Yeah.
I was like, how do I get rid of this?
I remember that shit. Yeah, Rogue was my first class, so. Vanilla.
Not enough energy. I was a troll, so it was always.
I have not enough energy.
All right,
I played Undead.
Ooh, okay. That is a good question. Yeah, that's good.
Final question.
All right, Brandon.
All right, so the last question here comes from Dan Jarvis. And he asks, what is your longest gaming session, either solo or at a LAN, i.e. the longest time spent in a room with other unbathed dudes?
Session ever.
Well, I mean, there was a 24-hour live stream, which is...
Yeah,
The live stream, 24 hours is definitely my longest. But I've had some sessions of WoW back when Burning Crusade first came out with my roommate back in college. I'm guessing we probably put in at least a straight 12 hours. Like when Burning Crusade came out, we came back and played, I don't even know. I don't know when I went to bed that night.
Yeah.
I would say LAN in New Jersey that I went to called GXL. Before the event day, we got there like kind of early and we played like all night. So I think it was like 5:30 to like 5 in the morning we were scrimming. So that's like, you know.
Yeah.
So a good that amount of time, and then we slept for a little bit and the event started at 9 and we started playing matches and we played till like 3 in the afternoon. So I guess that's not all in one sitting, but
I think over a weekend. I think over a weekend when I was a kid. Me and probably like 2 or 3 friends had a binge right when Grand Theft Auto Vice City came out. It probably lasted somewhere around 12 hours. So as far as like with other people goes, yeah, probably. Probably either that or MLG 2006. I went to MLG Philly 2006 for Super Smash Brothers Melee. So that might have been close. I'm not sure.
D2 for 18 straight hours once.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Nice. 18?
Yep. My level, what I did was I started, leveled a guy, got empowered all the way up to like 80 or 85 like in one day, and then got all my magic find gear and like started doing runs and just didn't stop. It was like a Saturday at college. Nothing was going on. My roommate was gone. My girlfriend wasn't there that weekend. She didn't visit that weekend. So I literally had nothing to do. So my parents actually had moved to California during my freshman year. So like whenever all my friends would go up, I could either go up with them or stay at college, because I actually roomed with a friend from high school, and then a bunch of my other friends from high school went to the same school. So sometimes they would go up and have family stuff going on. So I was like, I don't want to come up with you and then sit in your house and not see you either. So I would just stay at school and that day just happened to be one of those, and I just sat there all day. I didn't even get anything good. Like, I did these magic find runs like all night, didn't get anything. Yeah. But yeah, it was a mistake. You hear about this dude's dying from 36 hours of League of Legends shit.
I was gonna say 18 hours straight of Diablo 2. You're getting close to those kinds of stories.
Well, I'm guessing I got up and went to the bathroom and had food and things. So I guess it wasn't technically just me sitting in a chair.
I think that guy was only on there for like 10 hours, but you know he had to have spent days and days and days just playing without moving, because basically his blood coagulated and he had a blood clot hit his heart.
Fucked up.
Yeah. Sanity, dude. Just died instantly. Yeah. Jesus.
Well,
on that note.
Happy note.
Yeah.
This is an historic episode, Valentine's Day episode, and 2-hour runtime. Look at us.
First 2-hour episode.
Yeah.
I don't believe it.
Wow. Don't get used to it, friends. Who knows? You have
timestamps for poor Nikon Punch.
I do. Luckily, I took timestamps for him. So.
TLDR.
Oh, shit. Okay, I did. Never mind. I do have time.
A few pieces of news before we go.
Okay. Right.
2 weeks from now, we got Jared Gerritsen back on after of Zombie Studios. After Blackleg goes into open beta, we'll be talking to him the day after, actually. So we'll all be able, well, maybe I'll be the only one who plays, but who knows.
I'll have some first impressions
of what changes they made there, the new maps, new hard suits, etc., to talk about, and also the gaming industry, because he always has something to say. And then in the future here, we're also going to have Rick Leslie from Zombie on to talk about level design, which would be awesome. So that one, I don't know what day it's going to be, but yeah. So stay tuned for those, bros.
Very nice. All right, guys. We will see you for episode 30 next week. Later.
See you.
Later.